Right now on VFN TV, they're talking about a global identification card. It started in India, I believe, in 2012, and you're going to see today they're asking for it now, and our president just signed an agreement in the United Nations to be a part of that taking place. Can you believe it? Vassar College also shredding the Constitution to appease a student who says that they're offended by the Constitution. And what is this thing about a futile mind and reprobate mind, that type of thing? Today, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. He went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Molech, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can come through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Thank you so much for joining us today. Who would have ever thought about it? A global identification card. Right now, with the refugees, it's being reported that are going from the Middle East, going into different nations, into Europe. They're small nations compared to the size of America, so they're going over borders, over borders, over borders. They're saying we need to be able to identify them, some biometric identities. As a matter of fact, George Soros is reported that's actually fueling this whole refugee crisis, reports are, that so that he can push this global identification. And we just found out that in September at the United Nations, our president signed, along with other leading nations, a vision for getting global identification, for biometric global identification for everyone on the earth by 2030. What's going on? You think, well, how could this happen? I know that it's been going in India since 2012. As a matter of fact, let's just take a look back at India and what they were doing. It's called Imprinting India, where they begin to identify, and they have, what, 1.3 billion citizens in India. At that time, they did over 200 million. They may have them all done by now. As a matter of fact, let's take a look.
Imagine creating a system to track 1.2 billion people, photographing them, fingerprinting them, cataloging them, giving them all IDs. My next guest is not just imagining that system, he is tasked with making it a reality in India. Nandan Nilekani is the chairman of India's unique identification authority. His previous claim to fame was as one of the founders of Infosys, India's pioneering technology firm. Welcome.
Thank you, Farid.
So explain, how does one even think about this? And there's so many parts to it, but let's just first start with the technical thing. So you're taking India's entire population, which I mean previously has barely been counted, let alone, and you're going to try and give every single person a biometric ID.
That's right. We have already enrolled 200 million people in the last 3 years since the project began. And we're using the biometrics to give them a unique number, which so that they don't end up having more than one number. But what's most important is that this is a digital online ID. So we're taking people, many of whom have no ID whatsoever, and taking them to the digital world. So it's like a leapfrogging of identity.
So why is this so important you know, for India? I mean, what one hears about is that these people are supposed to get loans or mm-hmm. grants or various things from the government, and most of it never gets to them. I remember the Prime Minister, Rajiv Gandhi, saying that of the $1 that we spend mm-hmm. on poor people, on average, the poor person receives 10 cents.
15, I think, but whatever, 15 or 10 cents.
But the middlemen take up all the rest of the money.
Well, actually, there are two primary drivers for this. One is that we still have millions of people who don't have a formal identity or acknowledgement of their existence by the state. And unless you have a formal acknowledgement of existence, you can't get a bank account or a loan, you can't get a mobile phone, you can't get your entitlements, you can't get a, you know, can't get a job, you can't rent a house. So everything is linked to your basic identity. So this, in some sense, you can think of as a massive inclusion program to get the poor and the marginalized and identityless into the formal economy. So that's one part of it. The other part is that the Indian government spends something like $60 billion a year on entitlements and benefits to millions of people. And they need to make sure it reaches the right beneficiaries. So by having this ID system, we can make sure that people's scholarships, pensions, employment guarantee schemes all go directly to the right person, either into the bank account or whatever account. So both it makes government expenditure more efficient, effective, and equitable, and it's a massive inclusion exercise.
You think about this. They've been working on this. This is 3 years prior to this report in 2012. Today, according to reports, that they are working on a global identification unique number for everyone. Do you know that it says in Scripture, in the book of Revelation, that part of the end time aspect of what's things coming to a conclusion, that it will be an economic system? It's all based on money. You notice their concerns are, we want to distribute money fairly. You know, the dollar that we're putting on the poor, only 15 cents gets to them, which that is a tragedy. But is giving everybody a mark and a number, is that the answer? We're going to talk about this and so much more, including reports are the Vassar College is shredding the Constitution. We have to wake up to this day and the age that we're in. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFN TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
And it's amazing how we're standing together mm-hmm. to be able to do this. And we have so many things as a thank you for our, you know, your partnership. As mm-hmm. you know, we have an entire partnership area, you know,
yeah,
in regards to
very exciting.
What's available there. But today, as a matter of fact, this right now we have an offer for our VFN TV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner. Today, it is a weapon of peace. And you think about it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Think
Trust
about
God.
This. That all these things that we're hearing as believers, you know, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed in the And this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has
mm-hmm.
because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call. You can go online at VFNTV.com, as you're seeing right here. You can call. Go online at VFNTV.com. A partner now. Or you can go to, you see the mailing address. You can even mail in your
That's
gift,
right.
a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner,
that is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this. Be a part and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house. You grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect mm-hmm. yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write. And join the many partners that are keeping us going. And mm-hmm. we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. Yeah, it's actually being reported by WND about this biometric identification. It's issuing numbers to individuals. Mm. And anytime somebody tries to get you fearful, I mean, we talked about over and over again, you know, organizers of the day versus organizer of,
right.
of the night, the rules for radicals, you know, Saul Alinsky's, you know, techniques. It's being used on the world. They're using luciferic
tactics to organize the world.
Yeah.
But it's been used, according to Saul Alinsky in the dedication of his book, since the beginning of time. Lucifer used it in the presence of God, right?
And the book was dedicated to Lucifer.
It was dedicated to Lucifer. Isn't that crazy? It's true. You can actually see it on the VFN torch. And so, you know, so then people get you fearful, and all of a sudden you start giving up your rights, giving up your freedom, and it's like, I don't know, strap an iPad to my kid when they go to school because I'm scared that something's going to happen. And all of a sudden we begin to trust our knowledge instead of trust God. And then all of a sudden somebody else is using that knowledge to be able to do some pretty wild things. But WND, you know, reports that they call it a bludgeoning. This is a system, a bludgeoning system that will end up bludgeoning every Christian out of our society.
Wow.
It says it'll force the culture into retreat. And that's what you look at all these refugees. One town, John's reported that in Germany, it may have like 170, 270 citizens. They have more cows than people. They're about to bring in thousands of Muslim refugees into this one German city. That's going to be a Muslim city.
It's going to overtake it, yeah.
It's going to overtake the city. And, of course, the 270 are going to go, well, I'm fearful. Our culture has changed now. We need to get, but I don't want to be protected from these refugees. So let's issue an identification to every one of them. And then the 270 is going to get one, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he says they're going to force the culture into retreat. Then you have the weak, once everybody's in retreat and hiding and scared and all that, he said you'll have the weakest Christianity that can't withstand anything. This is exactly what happened, you know, in Nazi Germany. But this is way beyond that. This is way beyond that. He goes on to say, he said, we'll need to keep better track of people because of all these particular tragedies that are going on, especially refugees. But the new rules that will apply to the refugees today will apply to everyone tomorrow.
Mm.
And you think, well, that's just over there. First of all, there is no such thing anymore as over there. We're all in one world. But one of the ways they do this is through universal IDs. And he says, it's just evil. I mean, universal ID means somebody can run a search on you in China and they can find out, you know, everything about you because mm-hmm. your number is 666123496 or whatever, right?
Wow.
And then he writes in this article that the UN agenda in 2030 calls for a universal ID. So the UN.
Repeat that again. The UN.
The UN agenda in 2030 calls for a universal ID, they write, for all the people. This universal ID, which grabs the biometrics, in other words, you know, the things about like fingerprints and retina scans and all that kind of stuff that are uniquely yours, that a lot of people are just giving away to some computer company now
today,
with facial recognition.
Today, right now, you can get your eyes checked. And one of the ways you can get your eyes checked for, you know, prescription glasses is they take a picture of your eye, your retina, tells you all kinds of medical things.
Right.
I mean, it's easy. And it can save it, and it's done. And I mean,
right? It's a unique identifier.
Yeah, the technology is there.
And he says this. He goes on to write. He says the UN agenda of 2030 calls for a universal ID, which means all 7 billion people on the face of the earth would have a unique identifying biometric identifier, which grabs this biometric data. And he says he goes on to write about it that the goal is eventually to bring all people into this massive data bank. The proof in it is the UN's own documents, he writes. We'll make all this available to you on the torch. But 17 goals of it, one of them is called the Peace, Justice, and Strong Institute.
Hmm.
Peace, right?
Right.
And it reads by this, as he says, by the 2030, and this is what just got signed by our own president and other leading nations in September, which we knew that was the year. If you heard, it's like, okay, it's done. The system's set in place. Now things are unfolding. But by September 2030, which is right off that particular month, it's a counting mm-hmm. month, provide legal identity for all, including birth registrations. So everything will be in one searchable database. And it makes me think of the scripture. I mean, the scripture, people say, well, they separate their jobs from God. They separate their work life from God. And you have to understand, it's all God's everywhere. And God blesses the work of our hand. He actually blesses the works of our hand. And you can't separate your job from God. You have to understand he's the one that gives us the ability to get increase. And so when you hear about economic things happening, you need to pay close attention because in the end time, when you look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 15 through 17, it's an economic system being set up. It's a unique numerical identifier for each one. And some people are so afraid their ID is going to be stolen. They're so afraid somebody's going to use their name for credit and this type of thing that they're saying, listen, give me a biometric identifier. So they actually have computers that scan their faces that just say, hello, John.
Wow.
And they're just giving away all these identifiers and all. But it's economics. And this is all about money. They're always saying, you know, we need to be able to distribute tax money, which is your money they take from you, and do it in a better manner, and to be able to give people micro loans and to be able to track what's going on. It's like, you know, Hitler wanted to track everybody. He put tattoo numbers on them. That's the system they had at the time. But listen to what it says in the Word of God. It says in Revelations 13, 1 through 5, Revelation 13, 1 through 5, you can probably see it on your screen. He says, the second beast, and he's talking about a system that will set up a beast, was given the power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed.
Mm.
So it was about, you know, a religion, some sort of world-type religion that was going on. You can kind of see that forming today. And then he says this is the economic part of it, verse 16. It also forces all people, and they just said 2030 goal for the UN is to have all people, universal.
It's only 15 years away.
But this is what the scripture says. And Revelation is a prophecy telling us what was going to happen in the future. By the way, the future is here now. He says, it being the beast, it also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their hand, right hand, or their foreheads, biometric, you know, imaging, so that they, and this is the key, it goes on to say, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast, which his number is 666. It's a number, 666. And this is like, we are in this day. And the thing about it is God's watching us. It's like, what are you doing to let people know? I mean, if God wanted to destroy everybody, we'd be dead. He wants every man to be saved.
Mm.
We're seeing what's going on. What are we doing? Are we just going, turning ourselves over to the systems? Yeah. Are we saying this is the sign of our Lord's soon return? Our Lord is soon to come back. I mean, the enemy is not going to trump one up over God. Mm. God already said, you're going to do this. I mean, he already knew this is going to happen. But it reminds me of this night vision the Lord gave me. And in this vision, I was in this office space, like a large office space with, you know, pods, like office pod divider things, you know, they do those big rooms, and everybody was gathering data on everybody in the world. They were gathering like social security numbers, all the details and all these numbers. And all of a sudden, so every identifier was being gathered into a computer database. And so all of a sudden I'm realizing this is evil. This is a system being set. This is the mark of the beast. But they wouldn't let you say anything. You could not communicate, which reminds me of Cindy Granger's word, where they were going to begin to redact communication. It was going to be shut down. And so the only way I could have communicated with anybody in this particular night vision was to write on a board. Everybody had like this bulletin board right beside their desk so everybody could see mine. And so I got up and I wrote on this board, John, I wrote that this is the mark of the beast, and the number of his name is 666. And the data gathering was all about being able to know who you are. And I'm reading articles just this last week. You know, they're talking about now being able to diagnose medical illnesses, being able to tell whether you're sick or not, or what you need, or what's going on, or by based on your computer usage. And so they're thinking they can save a lot of time going to the doctor, because they can diagnose you based on how you use technology, what you're searching for,
right,
you know, what you're watching, what it suggests. And now imagine having a number system that when you're in this virtual image, you know, they worship the image of the beast, that type of thing, that this turning over healthcare to the government, you're seeing all this is kind of ushered in. Every bit of this, you know?
All the technology points to that right now. I mean, look with your mobile phones. You can go into anywhere publicly, and especially in New York City, this was because there's stores and, you know, shops everywhere. The store would recognize when your mobile phone was in the area if you had a certain app, and it would let you know there was a certain, coupon or special they were running as soon as you got within
it. It wouldn't recognize me. You're like, what meanest thou this? We've never seen this phone in a store somewhere. Yeah.
So, it's amazing how all that stuff's already set in place.
It's giving up, you know, it's thinking that you know, the way you live life is a waste of time. Let's find out some way just to kind of clip life. Let's just kind of make it shorter. Let's make, and it's like, we got to begin to get back to the basics of how life's lived again.
Yeah. You can get back to critical thinking. Well, hopefully we'll have to talk about that soon in the program.
Critical thinking. For those that sign up and want to be a part of the VFN internship, it's based on critical thinking.
Yes.
You got to think. The reason why you learn so much in such a short time, you actually engage your...
You're using your brain.
Using your brain. It's amazing what you can do when somebody lets you know that. And so you're looking at, you know, I think about Google, for example. You know, Google is basically this huge data gathering, data manipulating company, and they're very successful at it. And so, but they have people, they have people sitting behind their computers cranking continually, you know, manipulating data, just nonstop. And so what they had to do was they started creating environments that made them feel like they were in family and relationships, so they could gather this data while they're in a comfortable environment. And then they created things like, I don't know about the order of these things, but they created things like, you know, sporting events and competitions. And they started feeding them there. And they created these social type things inside of Google, some of the reports are. And what they were trying to do is help them to feel comfortable, help them to feel like they're actually living a life while they're gathering all this data.
Mm.
And you think about it. Why don't we just quit gathering data and start living life?
Yeah.
They have to actually cause the one who's gathering the data to kind of have some sanity, because they're just nonstop cranking out logarithms and all these different things they do for computers. And then they kind of like, you know, create some, you know, mirage of a life and that type of thing. One particular employee, reports are, he was living in his van. He was living in his van, and
he could get away with that because they could. I think you can get your laundry done there. You can eat
everything,
free.
Everything.
Life was,
as long as you continue to gather the data and manipulate the data, and you think about it, why would you do that? Well, they're talking about, you know, Kurzweil,
Ray Kurzweil.
Kurzweil. Anyway, that they're working on creating a mind.
Mm.
Rebuilding the
mind.
Write
a book about it.
Yeah, and even putting a chip in your brain. And there's people today, I mean, because we're all handicapped in regards to how, you know, we have different potentials and stuff. You know, like John and I are not as smart as Pat.
No, not at all.
He says. And, but, you know, the temptation of putting a chip in your brain to say, you know, this will help you think. It's like, why not be okay with how God created us?
Mm-hmm.
But you do that and you understand all that data, you know, teams of thousands of people. Now that data is made available to you. Does God really want us to take from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Or does he want us just to take from the tree of life?
Mm.
What he said was, he says, don't take from this tree. And decisions coming up. I mean, when somebody says, listen, we want to keep you safe. We have this biometric identifier and nobody's going to be able to steal your credit card information. They're not going to be able to hack into your checking account. And we will always know where you are. So all you got to do is push this button and we'll come send some people to rescue you. You know, all you got to do is just take this biometric identifier. And he says, you know, if you do not worship the beast, the image of the beast, then, you know, it's going to be horrific.
Mm.
But those who take the mark and worship the beast, you're saying, I'm not going to worship God. So you've got to get some clarity in this. This is what he says in the word. We're going to go to break. He said, these days take wisdom. They take wisdom. You have to have wisdom. This is not going to come at you like a Google search. This, you have to really hear and spend time with God and maybe continually be listening to VFN TV or programs like VFN TV. There's very few.
Mm-hmm.
And start letting God penetrate your thought life and say, you know, God, you know, what do I do? Because those who hear the Spirit and follow the Spirit are sons of God. So he'll tell you what to do. And you have to be willing to look people in the eye and just say no. You have to be willing to be unpopular. Jesus says you have to be willing to be hated because they treated me that way. They're going to treat you the very same way. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about a Vassar College, how they're shredding the Constitution because a student told them that it actually offended them seeing the Constitution. Yes, it's happening one after the other. Join us after the break.
Thank you for watching VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light and focused on Israel.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's author, speaker, and mother of three, Tracy Bianchi, suggesting that you may need to replace that mirror on the wall.
One of the statements I hear when people start talking about vocation and profession or hobbies, I'll often hear women say, well, I'm just a mom. Mm. And I invite them to drop that qualifier. There is no such thing as, right, quote, just a, yeah, mom. You are a mom, and you are a woman who is raising these children, and you're doing the best with the blessings you've been given. But I also invite women to make a list of the things that they are good at, that they are passionate about, that have nothing to do with their children.
You're more than just a mom, so cultivate those passions and giftings that you have, because your mirror is much bigger than you might think. You can hear more from Tracy Bianchi today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although, you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can, while it's actually the light of the gospel, because, you know, he tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing, you know, a network now that's reaching around the world, mm-hmm, television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the land. It's obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices. It just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it, but we all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it. You can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country in that order, and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Can you believe, John, that, you know, and what it is, it looks like this is alleged things that are being recorded, mm-hmm, at Vassar College, and that they were just checking the theory out that if you went and told a teacher or a counselor or whoever they're talking to, the employees of Vassar, if you see the Constitution, it triggers something negative inside of you and pain inside of
is
you.
Is it crowding your space?
Yeah. And so, you know, based on what they're saying, is their assumption was the teacher would say, you're crazy, get out of here.
Right.
Instead, the teachers and these leaders, whoever, you're going to see them, we're going to show you, they actually shred the Constitution. They say it does cause pain. This is where 70% of Christian children, young people that go to college, 70% of the reports are they leave their faith. Mm. And now you're looking at they're leaving the Constitution. You're not going to be really surprised why. But Vassar, tell us about Vassar.
Vassar College was founded in 1861. It's a highly selective residential co-educational liberal arts college. Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Constantly ranked amongst the top liberal arts colleges in the country. And Vassar is renowned for pioneering achievements in education, for its long history of curricular innovation, and for the beauty of its campus.
So what you're about to see, so you're seeing these young people, potentially students, they're going and saying that the Constitution makes them feel bad when it's around. And you're also seeing them walk around handing out Constitutions. This is if this is authentic,
wow, yeah,
and the young people are beginning to see the importance of the Constitution,
up, yes,
this is so important. But the shocker is, all this money and all this college debt that everybody owes, you're paying it to these people who are shredding our Constitution and shredding faith in the hearts of our young people. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
They were handing
the Constitution out on campus? I didn't think that this would happen, but I realized that the Constitution is kind of a trigger for me. Overall, I see it just as a really oppressive document. I mean, I'm like scared to walk around campus and see the Constitution. Honestly, can we just like, like, is there like a shredder or something? I think it might be like really therapeutic to see that.
Yep, I think we have a shredder in the front office there. Did you want to do it with me?
Yeah, I could watch.
Yeah, okay, yep.
The Constitution in everyday life causes people pain.
Is there a shredder that I could use?
A shredder?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In here?
Constitution?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Want a Constitution? There you go. Right to bear arms. Hello there. Would you like a copy of the Constitution?
Is he coming?
New stove for your mama. New J's for your kids. We're giving out constitutions. You interested in taking one? Okay. I'm a little sad. Can I interest you in a constitution today?
No, thank you, but you look amazing.
Oh, thank you.
What?
Your phone number?
I don't have American.
Oh, you don't have an American number? Like, maybe... No, I'm an American constitution, so I need an American phone number, but have a good day. It doesn't offend you?
No.
Doesn't hurt your feelings?
No.
Cool, it matches your sweatshirt, too.
Oh, that's good.
Great.
Okay.
This idea came up in our newsroom about campus administrators shredding the Constitution because it's a trigger against students. We didn't think people would actually fall for it. We underestimated just how stupid and politically correct these people are.
Why don't you start by asking, you know, what is it that, just maybe generally, what is it that you wanted to talk about?
Last week, something kind of happened on campus that I, kind of really upset me, and I ended up having a panic attack, and, it's just I've been kind of hiding out in my room ever since, kind of scared, and so... finally somebody told me I should maybe come talk to you about it and see if there's anything that can happen or anything. Well, I have it with me.
Okay.
They were handing the Constitution out on campus. I don't know. They were handing it out, and as soon as I saw it, you know, I started to not be able to breathe, hyperventilating. My vision went blurry, and I'm kind of just lost control.
Yeah. Did they say anything when they handed it?
No. They were just handing it out, and it. I didn't think that this would happen, but I realized that the Constitution is kind of a trigger for me.
Okay. So I think what you're sharing with me is that your interaction in receiving this was harming, right?
And that's what we certainly want to avoid. We don't want to limit people in exchanging ideas or having opposing viewpoints, but when it's disruptive or causing harm.
Which I think the Constitution does. I mean, it's not just me. I thought that Vassar wanted to create like a safe place here.
Yeah.
You know, a place that where students could walk around and not be scared of seeing discriminating things on campus.
When we told the same story at Oberlin College in Ohio, we were shocked by statements made by some of the professors.
The Constitution is an oppressive document. The Constitution makes change slow. It intends to make change slow. Right now, when I look at who's in charge of the U.S. House of Representatives, I think it's a good thing. Birthright citizenship, which is assured by the Constitution, is almost unique in the modern world. Okay? I think birthright citizenship is right. I'm willing to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that if that was up for a vote today, we would lose it under the craziness of Trump and his, you know, seven dwarfs, right?
I don't tend to talk specifically about the Constitution. Sometimes I do. More like I'll take a individual, you know, amendment, like, you know, free speech or something, and talk about it that way.
Is it because you see it kind of as a document that's flawed?
Yeah, right. But I wonder if any of the... There's some groups that I think of that might be really... would be really interested in maybe having, you know, a public forum, a round table, some kind of, you know, open discussion about the Constitution, not from... you know, the way the law and society people teach it, but I mean a really critical look at the way in which the Constitution in everyday life causes people pain.
Is there something that you think that that can be done to kind of respond to this, or to, because I'm sure there are also some people who maybe don't understand the impact that this might have on folks, right? So is there some kind of, I don't know, educational moment that can be had with the larger kind of campus community?
Yeah.
I
guess maybe, and I mean, I feel like the Constitution almost at a place like Vassar that is just valued for thing, inclusivity and, you know, a place that wants everyone to feel safe and empowers them to feel safe so that they can get the best education possible. I don't even know if maybe the Constitution should be removed from campus permanently.
Oh, I see. Is it, I mean, maybe in the library, do you think it's, I'm not sure if that there is.
I've never looked, but I bet that there's one in the library.
I'm sure there is for research purposes, mm-hmm. Right?
Constitution's not a sacred document in that sense. You know, it really,
yeah.
You know, and that's, I mean, look at the fight over the Second Amendment. You know, what could be clearer than, I mean, at least from my point of view, that the founders never envisioned giving people carte blanche to own assault rifles. You know, that was not what they were talking about.
So obviously my end goal is I want the Constitution to not have such a central part here at Oberlin. I would like people to see how discriminating it is and how racist it is. Do you think that that's a reasonable goal that we could get to?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and I think it's one of those things that, like I said, like I just don't really think about it a lot. I think there are a lot of people who will immediately agree with you and join the conversation and think about ways to limit, confine, or talk back. Maybe it's just you want to talk back to the Constitution, you know?
It's horrible that this is something that has caused you such pain. And unless the people are from off campus, we can't keep them from reading it. Can I destroy this? Or do you want to hold on to it?
Well, could you destroy it? Maybe it'd be kind of, you know,
I'll put it
therapeutic for me.
Yeah, I'll put it. We'll put it in a shredder. I have to wait till my secretary comes back to be able to use the shredder. So I can put it here and shred it when I get back.
Did you want to leave this with me? Or do you want to take it?
Honestly, can we just like, like, is there like a shredder or something? I think it might be like really therapeutic to see that.
Yep, I think we have a shredder in the front office there. Did you want to do it with me?
Yeah, I could watch.
Yeah, okay, yep. And I have it. I wouldn't mind, I want to rip out this back part if you don't mind.
Okay.
It's about the Cato Institute.
Yeah, I don't know. It could have just been where they got it.
That's
who
true.
Who knows?
That's true. But at least it's something. It's kind of a little clue. Okay, and the rest is just the. Is there a shredder that I can use?
A shredder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In here.
That made me feel better.
Mm-hmm. We were amazed and disappointed. Political correctness and cultural sensitivity run amok. Could this scenario happen at Ivy League schools? The Project Veritas Save the Constitution series will continue.
Hello. I'm giving out constitutions today. You interested?
Sure.
Yeah. Here you go.
So you're looking at, is this not amazing what's taking place? We're going to go to break. We're going to come back. You're going to say, where does this come from? Well, it's been going for quite some time, but Supreme Court Justice Ruth Ginsburg, she is saying it herself, talking about when she talks about a new country, don't even use the U.S. Constitution. It's outdated. Use South Africa's Constitution. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to say this, I want to thank all of our VFN TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
It's amazing how we're standing together mm-hmm. to be able to do this. And we have so many things as a thank you for our, your partnership. As you know, we have an entire partnership area, in regards
it's
to
very exciting.
What's available there. But today, as a matter of fact, this right now we have an offer for our VFN TV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner. Today, it is a weapon of peace. And you think about it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Think about this. That all these things that we're hearing as believers, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed in the And this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has
mm-hmm.
because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call. You can go online at VFNTV.com, as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at VFNTV.com, a partner now, or you can go to, you see the mailing address. You can even mail in your
That's
gift,
right.
a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner,
that is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this. Be a part and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. Somebody's breaking into your house. You grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect mm-hmm. yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write. And join the many partners that are keeping us going. And mm-hmm. we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host,
Greg Lancaster.
Could you believe that a Supreme Court justice, Ruth Ginsburg, she's feeling the same way about our Constitution? You got to hear, watch her. This is her speaking to somebody about wanting to have a new Constitution for their country. And she is actually supposed to uphold our Constitution. She's the one that the Supreme Court is supposed to look at every law passed by Congress to make sure it's constitutional.
It's amazing.
And she is actually rejecting our Constitution, just like these.
This is amazing.
Take a look at this.
So that's one milestone. And the next will be the drafting of a Constitution. Now, I can't speak about what the Egyptian experience should be, because I'm operating under a rather old constitution. The United States, in comparison to Egypt, is a very new nation, and yet we have the oldest written constitution still in force in the world. I would not look to the U.S. Constitution if I were drafting a constitution in the year 2012. I might look at the Constitution of South Africa. That was a deliberate attempt to have a fundamental instrument of government that embraced basic human rights, had an independent judiciary. It really is, I think, a great piece of work that was done. Much more recently than the U.S. Constitution, Canada has a Charter of Rights and Freedoms. It dates from 1982. You would almost certainly look at the European Convention on Human Rights.
Think about it. The job of the 8 Supreme Court justices,
nine,
is to actually make sure things are constitutionally sound. That's the whole purpose she's supposed to be there. You got to get a copy.
A life appointment.
Which that needs to change. But you got to get a copy of the Constitution. I just read the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution yesterday. You need to read it continually and get it inside of you. Most people have never even read it. Mm-mm. And don't even know what we're talking about. But if you do away with this, every right you have, Washington, D.C., everything changes as you know it. There is wisdom that God allowed this nation to come up, and a lot of it is written in the U.S.
That's
Constitution.
Right.
But I think about this. We're sending our young people to universities, and universities are going, you know, get rid of God, get rid of the Constitution, get rid of everything that we counted on. That the whole purpose of universities in the very beginning of America was to teach people biblical principles
right.
in the Bible and how to read so that they actually can, you couldn't even be a lawyer unless you actually had read through the Bible and memorized much scripture.
Wow.
And so, and today the universities are working against the parents. They're working, not all of them, but 70% of Christians reportedly going to college campuses, secular college campuses, turn away from God. 50% is reported that go to Christian campuses, turn away from God. So if you got a parent that's praying about whether you should go or not, that's probably why, because they're thinking you're going to, you know, it's going to hurt you going there. But think about this. I want to say this because we always talk about, you know, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. If you look at history, and you think about it, you think about the Civil War that took place in America. It was this horrific war where there were 625,000 to 850,000 Americans' lives were lost, which was a huge part of America at that time, you know, during the Civil War. But right prior to that Civil War, that's when a great awakening took place in America. Prior to this war, a great awakening took place. And people, I mean, it changed the DNA of people's hearts and how things operate. And you think, I mean, this is great, but God was preparing America for what was about to take place. A great loss of life was going to take place.
Wow.
So when you see this glooming war and these tensions coming, and you know, you can begin to believe God for a great awakening and for a revival. I think about World War One. You know, right before World War One, there was a huge revival that took place that touched the world, the Azusa Street Revival. But think about it, 38 million lives were lost in the war. What does that mean? You have a chance to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life now. You need to get to know God, because what's coming on the face of this earth, there's going to be a great loss of life. Who would have ever thought there would be such great loss of life when the Civil War took place? The biggest known ever in the history of a Civil War. I mean, Syria right now has 250,000 about lost in this war. But we had up to 850,000 reports are in our own country. And so I'm telling you, this is a time for you to begin to share the gospel and help people get right and believe God for a great awakening to come, to prepare us for what's about to happen. And God will prepare us But things are happening. Things are being father filtered. But understand, for some reason, history says right before these tragedies happen and these difficult times and great loss of life, that an outpouring happens. If we believe God, if we pray for, if we cry out to God, God responds. I want to pray right now for you. Let's just lock our faith and just believe God. You know, doing away with the Bible, doing away with the Constitution. It's time for us to say, you know what? The only thing that will stop this insanity is turning back to God, who let us have it in the first place. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you're in complete control, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord, where we've sinned against you, where we didn't take the time to read the Constitution that you allowed us to have. We didn't take the time to read the Bible that you allowed us to have, that people gave their lives to give to us. Lord, I pray for a hunger to be in the hearts of those that are watching and listening, God. A hunger for your presence, a hunger, Lord God, for more of you, a hunger for your word, a hunger for the knowledge of what kept this country where it is, Father God. Dear God, prepare us, God, for what's ahead. Lord, we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. Lord, into these college campuses that are shredding the Bible, shredding the Constitution, and shredding the hearts of our young people, God, Lord, that you would end that in this nation, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Thanks so much for joining us. Don't forget to join us in our next program. We're going to continue talking about this global identity and what's taking place and so much more. And visit us online at VFNTV.com. We have so much to offer you in the VFN Torch. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or and something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so that you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?